soulful sounds to lift your spirits. Colourful Radio.
Just getting in the vibe here on Colourful tonight. 3 hours of flavour as we do to midnight each and every week. Colourful Radio, where real music lives once again. So last week we had the legendary Leroy Burgess on the show. Next week is the turn of the Queen of Soul, Tina Marie. Tonight we have quite simply UK's number one soul sister. For the real heads out there, yeah? Her unique and versatile blend of R&B, vocal, jazz and soul. She's had critics drawing comparisons to the likes of Jill Scott and Erykah Badu. Her last album, Secret Garden, was truly excellent, and I, for one, am pleased she's back in 2009 to try and bring some sanity back to the music industry, I think. Here to talk about a new single and forthcoming fourth album already. Forget Amy, forget Joss, forget Duffy, forget Leona. We welcome to Colourful Radio tonight the UK's finest, Natalie Williams. How are you doing, Natalie?
Hello.
You good?
I'm good, thank you. That's a nice introduction.
How are you? You? Everything cool with you?
Everything's good, everything's good.
You sound busy from what we've been talking about.
I'm manic, actually. Yeah, I've been busy, but good busy.
Good, so you've got a new single out at the moment. We've been playing for, what, about 6 weeks or so now, I reckon?
Yeah, it came out, when did it come out? September, I think.
Yeah.
Kind of mid-September.
Really good, we're supporting it strong here on Colourful.
Thank you.
In fact, a lot of the DJs are.
Yay.
So the track's called A Little Wiser.
Yeah.
So are you a little wiser this time around?
I think I am, actually. I think, yeah, I'm learning the ropes, finally.
Yeah.
I know what I'm talking about, yeah.
So tell us about the track, then.
You know what? It's been knocking around for ages now, because when I finished Secret Garden, the guy I was, Drew Hawley, who I did the last record with, Secret Garden with, we were going to obviously start a new project, and we put this beat together kind of there and then. It's okay. Not kind of sample or anything, it just kind of, we just played it all in and kind of bouncing off each other, and the chorus kind of happened in an instant, and everything else about the song didn't for another year.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't figure out. I was like,
so it's like an unfinished project for a while, but you had to go back to it.
It was, and I was like, I remember sitting in my car going, what can this be about? Because I like the idea of a little wiser, you know, growing up, getting a bit more on top of things, knowing what I want, you know, becoming a woman, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I'm not actually sure how to put it into words. Because most of my tracks generally tend to be about me or about personal experiences.
Yeah.
And I ended up relating it back to just things that happened to me when I first moved to London, when I was a kind of 19-year-old little clueless chick who just kind of thought, oh, I'm going to go to music college and then I'm going to get a record deal and rah, rah, rah.
And it's all going to be easy.
And it's all going to be easy, and it turns out it's not that easy. And, you know, you end up kind of meeting weird people who are just full of talk and tell you, oh, I can do this for you, I can do that. And you're gullible and young and naive and go with it. So that's kind of what the song is about, really. And, I've become a bit cynical in the kind of time that I've been here and knowing what the business is actually
like. What, the music industry in general in this country?
Yeah, not even in... generally. The music industry everywhere, I think. I find that talent sometimes gets left by the wayside. I can tell that by a lot of friends of mine who I think are just amazing artists, and some people haven't even heard of them, and I'm like, this is a crime. But, yeah, so that's what it's about, pretty much.
We're attempting to try and get the good music heard again here.
Yeah,
on
I'm
Colourful
loving it,
Radio,
man.
Generally.
Misha, the Misha track rocks.
That's really good, yeah?
Yeah, really good.
So you've cut a video for the single already?
Yes.
Yeah? Now Steve Ripley, he promised you'd turn up today in your bikini from the video.
He did.
I'm joking. <Steve. laughs> I had visions of him turning up here, to be honest. I really don't want to see Steve Ripley in a bikini.
Oh,
but
that's
anyway.
Mean. If he's listening, Steve, he doesn't mean it. He loves you.
So where was that video shot?
It was shot in Mallorca, actually, and it was a really lastminute.com thing where, my label kind of said, you know, we're going to put, because I hadn't put anything out for a while, and suddenly this track seemed to be have single potential,
right,
and people were really into it, but it was like, if you want to get it on radio, you kind of need a video to back it up. So it was literally like, I found out about 5 days before we went to shoot the video that I had to go out and shoot the video. And luckily, friends of mine who actually did my last video on, for this girl from Secret Garden, they have a friend who lives in Mallorca, who has a friend, you know, friend with an amazing house, like proper MTV
star.
So that's
their house. That is an amazing house.
It's a ridiculous house. And
I love the balcony.
It's like a ship. It's like you use like you're on a ship. It's ridiculous. And so we just got to use the house for the whole 2 days and just muck about. And I mean, it was quite stressful. It was so hot, and they had this thing called what was it called? This kind of like shield, this light shield that kind of shine in my face to get the sunlight to make me even brighter. But it was like, you couldn't, you know, and then all they said was like, look fierce, look fierce. This light is shining in my eyes, blinding me and boiling hot. So it wasn't as glamorous as people may think, but it, the end result looks
good. Well, the video looks really good.
Thank you.
Really, really good. So you're hoping that this this single is going to be from the, it's going to be from the next album, which is, what, your fourth album now?
Fourth album,
Wow, it's gone quickly, hasn't it?
It has gone quickly.
Time has gone quickly.
Time goes quickly, yeah. But it feels like this is, it feels like I've been slogging away at this album for ages. Yeah. It feels like it should have come out ages ago, but there were all these things that got in the way that kind of stopped me from getting in the studio to write and finish it. So finally, it's kind of getting there, it's coming together.
Yeah, so have you got a date for the album yet?
I haven't got a date, but I think it's looking like March, because realistically this year is going to be a bit tight to get it out, and we want kind of enough of a run, obviously, to let everyone hear it and get some feedback. So I think it's going to be March time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So for the people that have got Secret Garden, how is it sort of in comparison to that? Completely different, or?
It's quite different.
Yeah.
It's quite different. I think it's probably... I've become a bit more mature as a writer, I think. It's more kind of songy, I suppose. There are some kind of really like full on in your face tracks, but then there are some kind of like really stripped down songs.
All right.
You know, it's not all generally loop based. It's kind of got, you know, and a lot more live instrumentation on it, because I've got this amazing band that I barely used on the last record, and I feel like sometimes people come and see the gig that we do at Ronnie's, for instance, and they come and see it and they're like, oh, it sounds really different live to them to the record. And I think sometimes you want to get that more live sound.
So you've got more instrumentation and musicianship on yourself.
Yeah, I kind of called in on my mates.
Help me.
Make it sound
Give
good.
Me a freebie.
Yeah.
So without further ado, then, let's get into the single that's blowing up at the moment. Do you want to introduce this?
This is called Lil Wiser. Way.
Special guest on the show tonight, Natalie Williams here on the Ghetto Heaven Show with me, Stretch Taylor. Blasting off with the first single from the brand new album. Colourful Radio, old school to the new cool, on DAB across London, colourfulradio.com on the website worldwide. Don't forget text line 80818, and you can get me at me on Facebook and via the text messages as well. Our special guest tonight in interview, Natalie Williams. We're getting spooky. I do love a bit of Bob James. Has to be said. So we just gave you a new single, A Little Wiser. I really like that. So nice and uplifting, a real summer type record.
It's a shame that it actually didn't come out in the summer.
It is
quite a summery track.
Yeah.
But we were a bit long, as they say, getting it together.
Whose fault was that? Was that you hanging around?
It's just, you know, things that didn't kind of come together in time.
No.
And blah, blah, blah. And us actually realising that was going to be a single... kind of a bit too late.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, love that new track. Hopefully some great tracks like that on the album as well.
Yes, I hope so.
I can't wait to hear it. So you're still working with similar sort of producers now? You're still working with Drew on this album?
Or? I am, yeah. Well, Drew's got a few tracks on it.
Did he produce the single as well?
He did, yes.
Okay. I like that little bass line with doodle-loo.
Yeah.
Doodle-loo.
Yeah, he's wicked. It's good, actually. He's a great multi-instrumentalist. He kind of puts it all together. And there's a wicked flute player who I was getting. I got him on Secret Garden and Butterfly as well. Gareth LeCrane.
Oh,
famous
same
in
guy.
The jazz world. Yeah, he's amazing. And I've got different producers. A guy called Anthony Whiting, also known, a.k.a. Blunt Laser. He worked with Maya.
Okay.
As in MIA.
Yeah.
And various people.
Yeah. She's a very successful artist, isn't she? Especially in the States, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah.
She's massive in
America. And in Germany as well.
Yeah.
She's big. He's kind of got that real out there, kind of quite mad sound, big sound that I'm quite into. Quite live, quite kind of edgy and out there. I like that.
So the album's nearly finished.
Yep.
So what's happened to you between that album and this album?
God, a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, I'm a very active live performer, and that's kind of my day job, or my night job.
Yeah.
So I perform everywhere and anywhere. I've kind of become, well, in the 3 years since Secret Garden came out, I became the resident singer at Ronnie Scott's.
That's right, yeah.
Is
that like a monthly gig, or is that?
Well, I'm there a lot with the actual house band called the Ronnie Scott's All Stars, supporting kind of.
How cool is that?
Yeah, pretty cool. I'm quite happy about that. It's great because I can kind of go, ooh, so-and-so's coming in, one of my hero jazz musicians, can I come and support that person? And it, usually I can kind of just go and do it. But then since I started doing that, then I kind of brought my night, which is called Soul Family Sundays, to the table. And
Soul Family Sundays. Okay.
And we've been doing that there for 3 years. It's like a live music night where we have special guest artists every month come and do a thing. It's all about original, mainly UK soul.
Right. Okay.
And it's not only soul anymore.
So loads of different artists like guesting and stuff from
guesting,
the UK.
Guesting. And it's nice. Like a house band, it's my band, 10-piece band with some wicked singers as well.
Okay.
And then we get kind of a different act every month to come and do a little showcase, and especially if they've got stuff coming out. We've had such a big list of people, wicked people.
So who have you had? What sort of people you had?
Well, we kicked off the first one we did at Ronnie's. We had Jamie Cullum.
Right.
Because he's kind of, you know, he's got that kind of jazz thing.
Universal type artist,
exactly. But, you know, we've had a real mix. We've had people like Hamish Stewart from the Irish White Band. We've had Alice Russell.
Yeah.
We've had Roachford, who played earlier.
Yeah.
We've had, God, you know what, we're going to have to name them. I can never think of them. We've had loads of people. We've had a Beth Rowley, Jackie Washington, who's an artist from the States, who Steve Ripley brought in. She was wicked. And Connor Reeves.
Oh, right, really cool.
We had Noel McCoy as well, but ages ago he was at the other venue that we used to do it at.
Yeah.
A guy called Wayne Hernandez recently, he did the last one. Then we've had bands like Brotherly, a kind of cutting edge. The bass player in my band has a band called Brotherly with his partner, and it's kind of a new jazz, kind of broken beat type thing. God, it's a real mix of stuff, really. Yeah. But we've also had like singer songwriters. I'm kind of quite into having, you know, because it suits the venue to have kind of real like acoustic broken down things. So amazing guy called Julian Villard from New York, who's a singer songwriter, plays piano. And a New York Jewish guy. He's he's wicked. He's really good. And Eska.
Oh, Eska.
Eska, my favourite. Eska.
But yeah, Eska's really good.
We haven't had her for a while, but she's been away with 07 and Matthew Herbert and stuff. She's been quite busy. But it's been good.
I still haven't been down to that night. I'm going to have to come down. So Soul Family Sundays, for anyone who hasn't been down before. And that's, when's the next one?
It's on the 8th of November.
8th of November, Ronnie Scott's.
Yeah.
It's a date.
We've got a Soul Family Facebook page, actually, so people can find it, and we email, you know, we send a mail out to let people know who the guest is.
All right.
And yeah, it's wicked, because it's like, it's all about new music and not just, you know, a covers band or whatever, just doing rehashing tunes that everyone's heard a million times. It's about original stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and it's different artists all the time passing through as well, so
exactly.
It keeps it nice and fresh.
Yes.
Nice. So the new album then, getting back to the new album. Is that going to be released on Eastside, like the Eastside Records, like the last album?
Yeah, Eastside Records again, but it's a joint venture this time. There's also, I have been busy, you see, I've got all this stuff to tell you. We actually, since we started doing the Soul Family thing at Ronnie's, and it's been a huge success, it sells out every month, and we've had the idea to make a TV show out of it.
All right.
And it looks like we're going to make an online TV show out of the format that we do at Ronnie's, and we're going to film it at Ronnie Scott's. It's going to be like a half-hour little program that you can download and watch on the internet. And it's actually the Telegraph that wanted us, because they want to get a younger demographic in and stuff, so they actually approached us asking us to do it. And the show isn't actually going to be only soul music, so we've changed the name to Sound Tribe, and I'm kind of presenting it. I'm chatting to the artists, I'm interviewing them, I'm performing with my band, I get them to perform with my band, we do duets, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a little Jules Holland, mini Jules Holland type thing, but you know, but there is a house band, so it's more like the Soul Family thing. But ever since we did that and we did a pilot for it, it's kind of taken off, and we and the friends that I came up with this concept with have decided to put together a record label actually that I also co-run called Soundtribe Records. So we're kind of, you know, it's turning into a bit of a one woman show, so I'm doing this kind of Soundtribe Records thing where I'm also eventually going to want to sign artists that I'm really into. And do the the TV show,
TV show, record label,
And then
so
do the live gigs.
You have been very busy, haven't you?
Yeah, Soundtribe Live. There's going to be all this stuff, you know. But it's still a joint venture with Eastside, so it's kind of basically pulled together, trying to get the best team to kind of make it happen, really. Because you have to kind of have good people on board, obviously, to make it work. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's about 3 or 4 years since our last interview. I think.
I know.
I think it's quite a long time. Where was that? I think it was somewhere in Walthamstow. I think it was at the East Side offices. Yeah.
Yes, that's
one
right.
One afternoon or something.
That's right. Yeah,
and then there was another time before. When was that? Soul 24/7.
That's right.
The very first time, yeah.
Yeah.
And you was on the phone from Germany. Something like that, yeah.
That was, yeah, speaking of phone interviews, wasn't it something like you called him in, I was in bed already?
That's right, yeah. He was in bed, yeah. We had to get you up.
Oh, no. It's much better face to face.
I'm Mrs. Yaw. Yeah. Anyway, I've seen a video. Someone told me about a video.
Yeah.
And it's the one with it's you and Kerry Hilson.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say this or allowed to say this.
Yeah.
But was that on GMTV?
It was.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you outperformed her.
You know what? There was been mixed reviews. If you go on YouTube, people are like, who's that backing singer? She's really annoying. But I think the problem is on GMTV, here's for everyone to know, nobody ever performs live, or there's never a live band. So when there's a band, it's always backing tracks because they don't actually have enough inputs. They're not actually equipped to have a live band. So it was meant to be myself singing and the guy who's playing guitar. He's also a singer. And
right.
So there was going to be us and a percussionist who also does backing vocals. So if you have three people doing BVs, then obviously it makes sense, you know, you've got the kind of backing sound and then you've got her singing. But because they didn't have enough inputs and there was only one extra mic they could use, and it was just me, it makes it look like it's a weird duet.
No, it's good actually. I think you're really good on the video.
I just
think you outshine her.
No, she was lovely, you know, she was really sweet. She came over and she came straight off the plane, straight to rehearsal. Then that night, after we'd done the rehearsal, the management called and said, can you do GMTV tomorrow? We'll pick you up at like...
Yeah, I was going to say, how'd you get involved with it in the first place?
It was through a friend of mine, actually, who books a lot of these kind of gigs. He books bands. And I don't normally do that kind of stuff, but I thought, I like Kerry Hilson.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was a sweetheart, and she was really under the weather, actually. So she kind of, you know, she can sing her ass off, there's no doubt about it. But I think she was a bit like, you know, after a long flight, most singers will probably die.
Yeah.
And to get up at, like, a few hours later and have to sing and do a massive thing. And we did Live Lounge after that.
Oh, did you? Okay. Yeah. So it's really interesting. So for anyone who hasn't seen, I think it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
So Natalie and Kerry Hilson is really good. So let's get your take right now on the state of UK music. Your thoughts on it. I mean, you've been down the independent route for a few years now. You know, the difficulties involved with that and stuff. What's your take on the state of you know, black music in this country right now?
God, it's hard. It's a weird one to kind of pinpoint, really. I mean, there's certain people who are definitely doing really well for themselves and internationally, really well. I mean, I went to see, you know, and it seems to be like, it's become a real kind of black music/soul has become a real white thing. You know, you see Duffy, as you mentioned earlier, Daniel Merriweather, Amy, you know. Pixie Lott, whatever, if you want to call her soul, I don't know. Adele.
Yes.
So it's kind of, that's kind of the picture I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Because I think it's to do with the songs maybe, and they're kind of a bit more commercial, mainstream, and you're not really getting more of the kind of underground stuff that you're playing. So it's kind of hard to find out, but there's some wicked stuff going on. I mean, I'm a massive Esca fan, but I've kind of got and Umpo as well. But, you know, there's kind of some really edgy stuff going on that I'm really feeling, but the kind of just straight soul thing, I'm not really picking up on it that much at the moment, I have to say. There's kind of, I don't know, it's hard to put
it. Is it harder for you now? I mean, in 2009 it was when you maybe did your last album, Secret Garden?
No, I don't know if it is, really. I mean, the new album hasn't come out yet, so I don't know. I'm going to have to see what happens and whether people pick up on it. But the thing is that I can still always do my thing, because as I said, I'm a live performer, so I just, that's kind of like, if my original stuff takes off as well, that's a bonus. That's but I've never went into it thinking I've got to get a number one. Do you know what I mean? I just do it because I do it.
I like the way you've stuck to your guns, actually, musically.
I can't not. I'm far too opinionated when it comes to music. I hate a lot of things. It's really bad. And you know, I'm like, I think there was at one point when I'm quite happy to write throwaway pop stuff or whatever, or stuff that, you know, sounds kind of something like the Tintins or whatever. But I'm not really feeling it for myself, and I think it will wash somehow.
So what's your thoughts on, you know, say the Mobos this year?
Soul
music wasn't represented. What's your take on that?
Well, it's tragic.
It's a shame.
It's tragic. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was rubbish, the show, I must say. Kerry was on it. She was good. But there wasn't any soul music. Yeah. I don't really know. I don't really know what's happening.
I just can't understand why there isn't like this UK soul category.
Yeah.
You know, you got artists like yourself, you got people like Terry Walker and stuff like that as well.
I don't even know, like Omar. Terry. Yeah. And Omar's last album was incredible.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
Really good.
Yeah. Did he get an award? No?
No.
Was there even a category?
No.
No.
I know, it was rubbish. Terry, I don't even know if she's still singing or not. Last time I saw her, it was...
I hope so.
I hope so. She's amazing.
She's really good, Terry.
I love her.
You know what? She's so funny.
I know. She's hilarious. She's hysterical. Those two people, actually, are people I want on my show, but it's been quite hard to track them down because they've both been kind of... doing their own thing, but yeah.
All right, we've made our mission then to get Terry Walker back in your Soul Family Sunday gig at Ronnie Scott's, yeah?
She's brilliant.
All right, we'll track it down. I'll get on the MySpace tomorrow.
Yeah. If she runs it.
So we're going to get you back as well once the new album drops, and you know, obviously going to be playing the new album a lot. Let's go back now to the album's Secret Garden, and one of my favourite tracks, yeah?
Okay.
Butterfly.
Oh,
in interview with our special guest tonight, Natalie Williams. She didn't even realise she was still on air. It's alright, you can sing along if you like.
I know. I'll
freestyle. So I just gave you two joints back-to-back from Natalie's last album, Secret Garden. Great album that was, Natalie, now looking back.
Thank
I played
you.
It yesterday, like probably about 10 tracks of it yesterday. Going back to now, you don't realise how good an album it was. Oh, it's really, really good.
Thank you. You know what, it's funny actually listening to it, because I don't think I've listened to it once since it came out.
Really?
It's really hard listening to your own stuff.
Listening to it all the time in the studio, mastering
exactly,
it.
That's the thing. You kind of that's all you do every day, and then once it's out, it's like, oh, now I don't have to listen to it anymore. But I do perform the songs, so it's not like you know. Sometimes I forget the words. So.
Yeah. So we gave you Butterfly and This Girl. This Girl should have been a number one record.
Thank you. I thought it was good, but it didn't seem to.
I just don't think it got heard by enough people.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
You know what annoyed me is that...
Especially with the video as well. But yeah, sorry, you were saying?
What annoyed me was that I lost all the publishing on that because we used a sample. So even if it had been a number one record, I would have been kicking myself because I wouldn't have made any money on it. Because we used a sample by the Drifters, which they weren't really happy with, and we had to give them 100%, even though it was just one of the little bits in the background, you know? But you live and learn, hey?
So the video for that single, This Girl, really loved that. The the VW camper van. As I was saying off air, like VW and me, sort of 10 years ago. I used to have my own VW Beetle, which was like a collector's one. I got it restored and stuff, and I used to show it at all the Volkswagen shows and all that sort of stuff. So I know where that van was coming from. And I remember seeing that video. I was like, yes! how cool is that? In a lovely split-screen camper, for those who know their VWs.
Everyone thought it belonged to me, and I was gutted to have to give it back. But as I told you, that they actually had to kind of slightly... Never let a film crew, or anything like that, near any of your property, whether it's a car or your house or whatever, because they were, you know, as I told you already, the trees in the little pathway and stuff were reflecting on the front windscreen.
So was that like a show vehicle as well?
I think it probably was.
Was it hired?
It was hired from a guy who was there, and they had to just knock the windows out without really asking him.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And he was mortified. But then, like, you know, they said they were going to fix it afterwards, which I'm sure they did, but the guy
was
not.
So it was kind of breezy when you was driving as well.
Yeah, but it was a hot summer's day.
Yeah, where was that taken? Was it somewhere like Devon or something like that?
It was near Farnham, I think. It was like a private road where I think Coldplay had done one of their... You know that video where they walk backwards? It's exactly the same location as that. Yeah, so we had it all day. Yeah. Drinking in the... All the extras were just lying in the field drinking most of it. So they were quite happy. I was just stuck in the van for the whole day. But it was good.
Yeah. So really pleased to see you back with such a strong single. So the interview tonight is like sandwiched in between last week, Leroy Burgess, and next week's Tina Marie.
Nice.
So, yeah.
I'm in good company.
Yes, you are in good company, yeah. So once before as well, we had you at the boating club, River Thames, Soul Music Cruise, didn't we? And you did a PA up there.
Yeah.
We'll have to get you... We're talking about that as well. We'll have to get you back on that.
I know. I was asked to do the December one, but I've got... My Ronnie show, that one.
Yeah.
But next year I'll be there with
March time, hopefully to coincide with the album.
Release. Yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah, that was a good little PA. You did a couple of tracks, didn't you? And you enjoyed the day as well.
It was fun.
It's really
wasn't
good because
you
mixed with everybody after and stuff like that as well. It was really good. Really, really cool. So your last album came out just as Amy and Joss were blowing up.
Yeah.
It was like all three of you, like trio, wasn't it? All at the same time.
Yeah, but they were on majors, man. They were just like, I was left behind. What a little money can do, eh?
Mm.
Or maybe they were just better, I don't know.
Maybe it's a shame that the album wasn't on a major, but as I said to you earlier, it's like the first six, seven or eight tracks on the album is really, really strong when you listen back to it now.
Yeah. It's a weird one, isn't it? I don't really know what it... Because it's not like... You know, I mean, obviously, being independent, they always want to try and shop you on to a major, but sometimes, you know, they just listen to it, they get that major A&R people, and they're just it's just not what they had in mind or whatever, and so they kind of, they'd want to change things, and as I already said, I'm quite stubborn with the music, so I wasn't really up for kind of changing anything that I'd done already, and nobody picked it up, so I was like, but I'm happy. You know what's amazing about being on an independent is having that control. I completely feel that I've had complete control over all the music I've made. You know, I've had
That's really
help.
Important.
Totally, because it's like, you know, it's my own personal journey, and at the end of the day, you can't... There's nothing more depressing than being told something that you have to do, and then you come out feeling really miserable because you hated doing it.
Mm.
You know, I mean, one of the reasons why this album has been put back so much is because there was this one point when I was meant to do this weird trio with two other singers, like a super group as they called it, and it was meant to come out with really strong and wrong and strong with the Daily Mail with an opera singer and a musical theatre singer and me, the token jazz soul singer, and we were meant to do this group, and when they were telling us the repertoire they wanted us to record, and it was going to be like, you know, you get a cover mount out as free with a newspaper and it was going to be like ABBA and all these kind of, and like Celine Dion, all these things that I'm not really, it's not really my vibe, you know, with an opera singer and a musical theatre, and they were great performers, you know, in their own right, but it was just wrong, and I was like, I just felt like I was going to go on this journey that would have financially been amazing, but I would have come out feeling quite depressed about it, I think, because or kind of ashamed among my peers, because it means a lot to me what my friends think. They probably would have been like, what the hell are you doing, you know? So that kind of fell through, and it was probably a blessing in disguise, because I could just get back on it and do what I needed to do.
Yeah. So you've been doing a lot of supporting for other artists as well recently, haven't you? Wasn't you on Jonathan Ross last Friday?
Yes, I was with Jamie Cullum.
Oh, you superstar, you.
And I supported Babyface at the Indigo.
Babyface?
Yeah, man. Wicked. I met him afterwards. Wow.
So you supported Jamie Cullum, it was on Jonathan Ross.
No, it wasn't
last
a support, yeah, it was. I was singing with him because I actually did some singing on his album, album,
yeah.
which is out in November.
Mm-hmm.
And he needed some backing vocals, and I'm friends with him anyway. He asked me and Vula from Basement Jacks
if
she's up for doing it, and a lovely lady called Charlene Linton.
Right.
And so it was just us three howling along with him.
Excellent. Was that a good vibe up there?
It was wicked. I love Jonathan Ross, and it's actually my dream to go on his show and have a chat with him.
Yeah. Did you go into that green room at the Bay, or whatever it's called?
We didn't. It was just Jamie went there, but actually it's fake. It's
no,
not a real
don't
green
tell
room.
Me that.
Am I allowed to say this?
I thought it'd be full of like free alcohol.
I don't know, we didn't even set foot in that. We had our own little backstage area, but that's actually just a little set up, just that little corner. And it's not actually a room or anything, and the rest of it is just in the middle of the...
Yeah.
So it's a myth, that green room. Okay. You just have to kind of sit there and smile and pretend you're in a green room.
So wasn't you shielding yourself anyway that night? Because that was around, like, the time of the hassle last week after the was it the question time
program? Question time,
that to usher you in.
we barely made it in, actually. The whole band went out to Westfield to have some, you know, wonderful shopping centre, to a spot of shopping, bit of champagne,
right,
get us in the mood, and then we get there and it was the riots and it all kicking off.
You didn't allow enough time.
No, they'd been there all day, but then suddenly I think some people actually broke into the BBC and we couldn't, and then we couldn't get in. They weren't letting anyone in or out, so the whole band, he was almost had to do it on his own, poor guy, but yeah, they let us in the end. Very funny.
So live dates in for you personally in 2009, you're going to be supporting the singer with some live dates or waiting until the album drops?
Well, I have been doing, I mean, I do. If people check out my MySpace, which is myspace.com/Nat Williams, I put all my dates up there. I do a lot of live stuff with full band, mainly because I've gone off the PA thing a little bit. I feel a bit naked without my musicians there. And
yeah, I imagine after all that time doing Ronnie Scott's.
Yeah, it's like it feels really empty. You just feel like kind of, you know, and sometimes, especially if it's in
emotions.
A club and people don't really know your stuff or whatever, and you're just trying to impress someone, you kind of come off feeling a bit deflated. So I've kind of haven't been doing that much of that. Then again, when I do those kind of things, and people get me in and they know what I'm doing, then it's great. But I've got quite a few.
If you're playing to a knowledgeable audience,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
makes it a lot easier.
Exactly, like your bird parties.
Yes,
proper music lovers. That's the kind
exactly,
of places.
Yeah, and the real people appreciate it.
Yeah,
I got a shout out actually to Scott James and Nikki, who are locked in tonight. Scott, my partner on the boat, of course.
Yay.
How you doing, Mr. James? Hope you're enjoying your evening, sir. So we've got Natalie Williams up in here. In interview, but last 10 minutes of the show now until the terrible black eyed boys turn up. I bet they. What you got for us tonight, chaps? Some more rudeness as usual. Yeah, bit of nastiness.
Thumbs
up.
Yeah.
Bad stories. 10 minutes time. Black eyed boys in the building here on Colourful for some crazy satire as they take you through the midnight hour into Wednesday morning. So, yes, Ronnie Scott's, before you go, you just want to break that down again for the people. When's the next one?
The next one's on the 8th of November. I haven't got my special guest confirmed yet, but check out the Soul Family page on Facebook or go to my MySpace, and it'll say then when it is. But it's on the 8th of November, and after that is we're going to have a Soul Family Christmas special in December, which is unfortunately the same day as your boat party, so I can't really... Steal your people, but come.
Come after the boat party. Yeah, what time does that start then?
It's early, actually, because it's on a Sunday. We don't want...
All right, what time do you usually start that?
We start about 8:15.
Oh, that's all right then, so people can get off the the boat party at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And straight to Ronnie Scott's.
Yeah, could do.
How good is that? I'll tell you what, I'm thinking about doing that myself.
It's not actually... Yeah, it's
do you know what? Yeah.
Dude.
Here we go. December the 13th. Watch
hear
out, Ronnie Scott's.
Yeah, man. All the
I might
Christmas
be a little
specials.
Bit drunk at the door, though.
That's fine.
You'll have to get me in the back door. So that just leaves me to say thank you to Natalie Williams, our special guest tonight, and wish you success with the single and the forthcoming album. We'll get you back soon.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Natalie. We're going to hit you with two more joints back to back from Secret Garden album from a couple of years back. Keep it here, Colourful. Thank you, Natalie Williams, in interview here on Colourful Tonight.
kick back and relax with Colourful Radio.